Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back to Mission Accepted. Oh my God, we have been, and I know that you've been following everything that we're doing. We just had a 5-day event in gorgeous Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, home of Mission Accepted Media. And lucky us, we got to meet the most incredible people doing incredible things. And of course, I got to meet Mr. Mark J. Carter in person. We could not stop talking, and we are so excited to continue that conversation with you today. Now, look, at a lot of you from all over the world have had such great benefit of people coming on and sharing stories, sharing information, because you are either just really intrigued and think, I would never do what you people do, and you're coming here for the jovial aspect of the life of an entrepreneur, or you are entrepreneurial, you're on a mission, you're about to take a mission, and there's all sorts of things that you need. And these gems, these nuggets that you're getting on the show are making a huge difference for you. Thank you so much for sending that information in. Our guests are excited when they hear from you. We're excited when we hear from you. And we know that we're global, and we super appreciate you opening, listening, sharing, and commenting about the show. So look, we were able to grab Mark. He just flew back from Vancouver. He's home where he's home. And I said, look, there's in this world of marketing for the world of entrepreneurs and creatives and media and all of that, being interviewed is important. He is an interview expert. This is what he lives for. This is what makes him excited. He loves interviewing. He is an interview. He's a professional interviewer. And so I thought, isn't it always nice to hear from the other way around? So what is it like to be an incredible interviewee? What are professional interviewers? What are they going to do? What is it that you can do that ask them to, you know, that they'll refer you, that they'll ask you back on their show, whether it's a TV show, whether it's a radio show, whether it's a podcast, what have you. So we're going to have that kind of conversation, that high level, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that I listened to this show for you. Mark, welcome to Mission Accepted Media. So nice to see you on the screen, and it was such a pleasure to meet you in person.
It was great meeting you in person. Happy to be back in your good graces.
Absolutely. So look, you are a professional interviewer, and you must have some incredible stories to tell. Do you want to kind of kick us off a little bit, maybe let us know where you are in the world, and what was one of your most incredible interviewing experiences, either you being interviewed or someone interviewing you? What is it that made you go, oh man, I love interviewing?
Well, first of all, I'm smack in the middle of downtown Chicago, and one of my favorite interview experiences on video, at least, was one of my first, was my first video interview. And I had done the research. We had the founder of TED, not the guy who bought it, but the guy who invented TED, as in TED Talks. And I called my video guy. I'm like, just set up a camera in an empty room. Worst he's going to do is say no. And at the time, I did not want to be on video. Like, no, And I did my research. He was always a talking head in all his interviews. So I'm thinking, I am safe. I don't have to be on video. This is cool. Literally less than 5 minutes before I was talking with him, he grabbed my arm and said, hey, you're in this with me, aren't you? I'm like, I guess I'm in this with you. Oh, crap. And as with interviewing, one of my favorite things to hear is when someone will pause, especially a media trained person. They're like, that's a good question. I love that. His first response to my first question, and I left it in, I said, don't edit it out. I'll laugh about it someday. Not this week, not this month, but someday. First response was, that's not a good question. Let's start over. It's like, oh my God, I had to put on a poker face. I'm like sweating. I was like, don't die on camera. Made it through. It was about a 10-minute interview, but that one really stands out because I had no plans of being on video whatsoever. And I once I got into it, I realized, hey, this isn't so bad. Nobody died. And that's what kicked off the career.
I thank you so much for sharing that story because first of all, we've all had our firsts. You know what I was just sharing with someone right before this show, and I'm like, they're in beta of a really big project. And it's interesting watching the growth, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, I'm sure that was, you know, everyone knows that saying, but being thrown into it sometimes can just be the best. And it does make for a good story later, but never at the time. So thanks for sharing that, right? Like, oh my gosh, just go in on the deep end, right? Go in on the deep end. So look, let's kind of talk about what it's like to be that person who's sitting on the other stage. You've interviewed a lot of people. I've interviewed a lot of people. There's people that follow certain podcasts and listeners and radio shows because they love their style, right? Interview people, they all have their own style. They all have their own groove. I know for us, sometimes we ask a very similar question at the end of the show because we, you know, that's kind of our signature. For you, what are some of the things that people that are looking to be interviewed might want to take a look at in terms of how they show up?
The first thing I would say is, and you can work with the host on this, the first and foremost, I will say, is pick something you're passionate about. People can sense the energy. They see it on camera. They feel it coming through the screen. Don't pick something based on, oh, here's the hot topic of the day. I'm going to talk, everyone's talking about AI. So I'm going to go talk. If you're not passionate about it and don't have a deep well of knowledge, don't talk about something just because people are going to pick it up. They're going to be able to tell. Yeah, you're not really an expert at this. Or they're going to say it's like you're not lighting up on camera. Even if it's just a radio show, they hear the inflection of your voice and the energy of your voice. So number one is pick something that you're genuinely passionate about and interested in. And the second thing I'd say, I mean, right off the top of my head would be share stories, just like we just did. That was a story. Don't just make it purely informational and just the facts, ma'am. Share stories that you've lived through about the topic at hand, but be passionate and share stories are the first two things that come to mind.
I love that you talk about that they can read the energy, right? That, and I really love that you talk about have a deep knowledge and passion because people can feel it, even if they're listening and not watching the show, if they're not watching your facial expressions or what you're doing, they can definitely hear that. Other things is like, you know, putting too many, you know, when people are entrepreneurs and they've got three or four things that they do, right? How do you feel about people doing, talking about multiple things? Is there a good way to do that? Should it not be done? Like, how do you feel about that?
I would say stick to one or two things. Once you start getting into three and four, even if they're passionate about it, unless they're extremely aligned and there's just a little, like a minute difference between the subjects, three and four things, it's too much to talk about. And I'm really big on one of the first things I get dive into is what we're talking about. If it's like online marketing, it's what's your story with online marketing? How do you get into it? And if you have a 20 to 25 minute podcast, if you try and cover four things, that's very short bursts and you can't really get deep into anything. You're going to stick at the surface level stories for all four subjects if you're only recording for 20 to 25 minutes. So I would suggest definitely one or two.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's fantastic. What other advice, what other things do you see that people can either just change a little bit or really take a good step at and reevaluate what they're doing on the screen? Well, screen, voice, radio, TV, whatever.
Well, during the interview, be aware that you're in an inter, and I'll stick with it because we're recording a 20 to 25 minute podcast, and that's the length of my podcast. If you're a speaker or a trainer, telling a 5, 6, 7 minute story in a 60 minute speech is almost expected. Of course, you're going to do that or part of your 90 minute training session. If you're on a 20 to 25 minute podcast, once you start getting to 6 and 7 minute answers, that's like 25% of the podcast. So I'd definitely be aware of having shorter, more meaningful answers to get to the point, share some great genius, share some knowledge, but don't go into long 7 minute explanations of things. That's one of the first things I see that I will prep my guests for, and I'll tell them, hey, especially if they're a keynote speaker or a workshop facilitator, that's when I'd have to say, I'm just going to say this, you probably already know it, but 3, 4, maybe five, but like 3, 4 minute answers are ideal. So keep them short and sweet and make sure you include stories in your answers.
Yeah, I'm hearing the word stories. I'm hearing the word stories. I'm hearing the word stories, right? Stories really, they're such a great anchor for people also to get to know you. Here's something that I find, we were actually talking about it last night, late night conversation with the CMO, and there's things that we do from a media company that are very personal branding, and it's super hard for entrepreneurs to like do personal branding where it's not loaded with their business stuff. And I think that's really part of the telling the story. A lot of people want to know a little bit about who you are. Doesn't have to be the whole thing, just a little bit about who you are. When that seeps through, it accentuates what we believe. It accentuates kind of what you do, who you are, and what you do. And I think that's a package that people purchase. So a lot of times, if it's too much about the story and all about what you do, they're thirsty for like, okay, I've joined this class. I want to hear how to actualize it, and then vice versa as well. Not all tutorial, but like, who are you as a person? You know, what other things have you got for someone prior to the show? So you're heading on to a show, you've made a connection with somebody. Is there anything that you can tell people from an interview standpoint of, that are going to get interviewed, things that they should do prior to getting onto the air?
Know the key points that your interviewer wants to make. It's their show, so it's before you hit record. Take some time, just like we did. We're talking about interviewing. You could talk about it from an interviewer standpoint. You could talk about it from an interviewee standpoint. You could talk about both. And we decided, oh, based on your show and your audience, we're going to talk about the interviewee. Do that before each show, even if it's the 5 minutes before you hit record, to find out, make sure you really know what that interviewer, that host, wants to get out of the interview. What's going to be the most valuable thing for his or her audience? What points do they definitely want to cover? That's something, like I said, you can do it in 5 minutes beforehand, but it's so powerful. Like I said, with this one, there's two sides of a coin with interviewing. We picked one of them. If we hadn't picked that one, I might have gone down another road. But I said, no, I want to know what, as a host, what do you want your audience to get out of it? So as an interviewee, never assume you know what they want to get out of it. Even something a simple topic. So what you're saying is you want A, B, and C, or pick a couple talking points and ask them if that's what they want, and then have them feed that back to you so you know what you're going to be talking about for the next 20, 25 minutes or so.
Yeah, and every interviewer is different, right? Like some interviewers will send you questions. I mean, I think we all recommend watching someone's show beforehand or listening to how they what their show is, what their TV, what their radio, how they present, so that you can match, not necessarily match the vibe, but understand how they work. I think it just adds a little bit of being advantageous. And I think it's always nice, the person who's doing the show, knowing that the person, went and took the time to listen, just like we do when we're meeting somebody and we look up their website first, or we do those kind of things. So it's nice to kind of get a sense of how they talk or what their groove is or their interview style. What about someone who wants to get their, so they have a course or a class or a book that just launched, there's something that they want to market. Do you have any suggestions for the person interviewing? Again, is it that they focus on the story? How do they weave that in? When is it like, do you find that people get better results when it's like, go to my website and da 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 da, you can get my book there? Or like, how do people get their sales piece across in an interview without sounding like it's a sales piece across in an interview?
I think that's a great question. I think the best way to do it is if it's a course, a book, whatever it might be in the educational space or self-improvement, business improvement, give away some of your best stuff for free. Give away part of the course. Share some of the, your golden nuggets that you're going to learn in the course in the interview. Because I think that what that creates is the knee-jerk reaction from the listener. It's like, gosh, if she can give that away, man, what I pay for must be awesome. So give away your golden nuggets in the interview. I think that's the best way to do it. And then direct, definitely, have a landing page, a call to action, go to this domain, and you can get, the free ebook or sign up for the course here, whatever it is. But give away part of your book, part of your course, part of your genius in the interview, and let people actually experience what it would be like to read the book, be a part of the course, go to that class. And like I said, if you can give away amazing stuff, people are just going to assume what they pay for has got to be even more amazing. I think that's a better selling tool than just trying to be tricky with and get people to do sales traditionally.
Yeah, I and that's a I mean, thank you for bringing that up, because I think people are worried about giving their best stuff because they're like, wow, if I give all my good stuff away, then when they come to the this, then what's there going to be? And I think that they don't value, they value what they offer, but they know their peak pieces. And if they give their peak pieces away, then what else have they got to give? But they don't realize that when those peak pieces are put together with all the things like how to put it into action and how to things like kind of what we're doing right now, that that's where truly a high level value comes into play. So giving away those pieces on a show, I think it's a good reminder for people because they tend to hold that back. They're like, oh, well, in this book, I give my top 10, you know, and they give a couple, but they're not like the best. They're not the ones that are going to drive the activity. You've probably heard it. And maybe we're talking about it right now. Maybe this question that I asked that I'm going to ask you, it's like, well, I just gave you that answer. But you know, you hear it, I hear it. I've been on blank amount of shows. I've been on blank amount of podcasts. I've been in publications and I'm not getting the ROI, or I don't think I'm getting the ROI, because sometimes people don't really understand how important media impressions are. Like when you're seen multiple times, you don't know that they bought your project here because they've seen you, and they don't call you when they bought your project and said, oh, I saw you on this show 2 years ago and this show. But what would you say to someone that says, man, I'm on a lot of shows and I'm not getting the return that I think I should be getting?
Keep doing it and change your call to action. If you're not getting a return, direct them, whether it's you want YouTube viewers versus website people to sign up for a newsletter. But at the end, give one, maybe two calls to action. And if you're not getting them, change your calls to action or switch up the landing page or give a different offer. That's the best I can say. And also offer something for free. Don't make it just, if you pay X dollars, you can get my course. Go to this website, because I just heard you once. They probably want to get to know you better. Offer, you know, that free newsletter, whether it's on LinkedIn or your website. Offer that free course, the free ebook. Give them a way to get to know you, in air quotes, even better. Don't make it an all or nothing. Like, hey, go buy my, even if it's like $297, go buy my $297 course. That can be like, well, I it was interesting. I just heard you once in a podcast, maybe. Why would I spend money if I just heard you once? Once you get to be business, in air quotes, business famous, it changes the game a little bit. But if you're not business famous, and give something away for free that they can get, that's risk free, to get to know you, get to know your material better. Don't make it an all or nothing. You have to buy something or you get nothing.
Well said. Well said. And I think, again, just let's layer the fact that you never know when the show is going to be. That's going to be the one that tips the scale. So I love, keep going, keep being seen, and keep mastering your craft. Is there anything else? Because I think I'm going to flip the script a little bit. And I am going to ask you maybe some of your high level must do's for people that are interviewing. Is there anything else that you want to share to people out there that are showing up on other people's shows that yields a great experience or builds their business or builds their confidence? I mean, this is confidence building stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So is there anything else that you want to share? Because look, it, you do classes. We talked this weekend, you've got two hour packages where people are learning all these skills, putting them into action, having fun, networking. You have extended. So, you know, we've grabbed you for 20 minutes. So we're kind of going high level on the things that people like really need to know. Is there anything else as someone showing up on people's stages need to know?
I think the biggest thing is just do it. The time is never going to be perfect. I want the right show. I want the right interviewer. Just get out and do it. The only way to get comfortable on camera is to get comfortable on camera by actually doing it. So do a ton of shows. Don't worry if they don't have a huge following, especially if you're just getting going. A huge part of it is just get going, because people can tell if someone's been as good on camera. They can sense the ease, the energy. They can sense it. And that's not, I guess, a very good actor or actress could fake it. But short of that, you can't really fake it. You're either comfortable or you're not. And the only way to get comfortable is by doing the show. So I would say do as many shows as possible. And to reinforce one thing that we touched on, definitely ask the host, what do you want to get out of this show? What material do you definitely want to cover to make it the best possible show for them as you're getting more comfortable at being on podcasts, television shows, whatever it might be, but especially when there's video involved.
Perfect. Okay, let's flip the script. let's ask from an interview standpoint, a lot of people are now like, look at, we're having people start their own TV shows. You know that the world of people doing podcasts and magazines and YouTube channels and all of that has been on a considerable rise. What are some of the things in flipping that you would say to your established interviewers and also people up and coming?
One thing that comes to mind is ask, I call it questions, et cetera, ETC. And when you're asking questions, do it first, explore to get a broad stroke and narrow it down to like from 20 miles high to 10 miles high, and then get it targeted. Oh, so if I hear you right, what you're really saying is this. And then the clarifying for the C is, just to reiterate, you think this is the best way that you can ask a series of questions. So question exploring, targeted, and clarifying can be a great way to do it. And also from an interviewer standpoint, how and why, if you're ever stuck on what to ask someone next, and this goes for networking events, it isn't just restricted to being on camera, asking whatever they said, the last answer, how did you do that or why did you do that, is going to elicit what we started talking about, stories. You can get them automatically to tell a story simply by saying how or why, or if you're stuck for a question, ask how or why. You'll get right back into the groove. They'll start sharing stories. You're back on track. That's my favorite thing to share with interviewers. And like I said, that can even be done at a networking event to keep a conversation going.
That's really good, because sometimes you meet somebody and you have a dynamic experience, or you met them at an event, or you met them at a conference, or you met them at a group online. And then when they go on to the show, it can be a different personality. It can be differences. People have things going on in their life. Maybe they just raced in, maybe all sorts of things. And they may not be as focused or as dynamic as you met them in 3 minutes. And sometimes there's things where you're, I mean, obviously, clearly that's not this situation. You've got two people interviewing. You don't have to pull information out of each other, right? But sometimes it's like that. And I think that's a very great technique to repeat back to them something that they've already been talking about and elaborate deeper. Yeah, that's really beautiful.
Absolutely.
Really beautiful, beautiful. Mark, this is the beginning of many things that I think that we're going to be putting together and doing together and sharing together. It won't be the last time that you say, and I'm going to say it, Mark J. Carter on Mission Accepted, because you're going to go put in Mark J. Carter and Google's going to love on you. But I do have a question that's completely nothing to do with interviewing. It actually has absolutely nothing. It's all actually about you, just you and you. So you and you and a suitcase, which you probably just came home and unpacked, are going to repack, and you are going to go away on a desert island. And you have no idea when you're going to come back, but it's you and the island. And you could not imagine not listening to this music until you decide to come back. So you've got room in your suitcase for one album, and you know we're album fans over here. So this desert island has a record player with some mango. What song, singer, or album could you not imagine not being able to listen to for the rest of your days?
The first time I saw him was in a bowling alley. I was 16 years old in a suburb of Detroit. I would say Kid Rock album Devil Without a Cause.
Right on. Right on. Very cool. Kid Rock and some bowling. What a pleasure to have you on Mission Accepted. I'm going to talk to the audience for just a minute. Look, the beautiful thing about all of our guests is that we just tip the iceberg in what they have to share with you. So check out the show notes, reach out, contact, see what's going on. Follow us, follow Mark. We've always got all incredible things going on. If you want to be sitting where Mark is, then come on to a show. It's not difficult. You know, it's very easy. It's devdrummond.com. Go have fun over there. There's a podcast page. If you'd like to come on as a group show, if you'd like to come on to the stage, if you'd like to come on to the TV, if you'd like to do a solo show and hang out just like me and Mark are doing today, there's an opportunity for you to share. If you have a story, it needs to be shared somewhere. We're happy to provide that platform for you. Mark, as always, a pleasure. Really great to get to know you this past weekend. Look forward to the show airing. And is there any last words that you have for anybody before we sign off today?
Just to reiterate, if you're thinking about being a guest, go out, do it. That's the best thing I can say. You'll love it. You'll get better at sharing your story. But the best thing to do is, even if you think you're good, you can be great. Do more podcasts. Get out there as a guest. There's a ton of hosts looking for great guests. You can be that great guest for that right host.
awesome. So with that, my friends, as always, we will see you next week. And until we do, you be well, you stay groovy, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.